The date today is the 4th of August, 2013, and I'm sitting and speaking with Benny Pimentel and his daughter, Fatima Ferreira. They live at 156 Robert Street, and I live beside them at 158 Robert Street for about 12 years. And I just want to tell you before we go on with the interview, of course, Fatima, you remember when you got married?
Yes.
And I drove some of your guests to the wedding. And then, Benny, when your first grandchild was born and I was living right next door, you came and you banged on my door. and I opened the door and you were just so excited. I have a grandson. And I call him Jordan and you pronounce it Jordan.
Yes.
Anyway, what I'm saying, and we used to sit out on the porch, including your husband.
Yes.
We used to sit outside on the porch late at night and early in the day. So I want to say for the purpose of this interview and the tape that you are very special people, very close friends of mine. I love you dearly. Wow. So we're going to do this interview, but this one is very unique for me because we lived beside each other for about 12 years. And I have lots of other stories, but I won't go into them now.
Well, the feeling is mutual for us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Fatima, what you said was, well, Benny, you bought the house in the 29th of October, 1965.
Yeah.
You were 35. Fatima, you were born in 1966, which means, Benny, you're talking about being an adult on Robert Street. And Fatima, you're talking about living there your entire life because you are now married with your husband and two beautiful children and a dog.
Yes.
And you all live there. So you are going to talk about a childhood into an adulthood and being married with children of your own. So I have a big picture that's about to unfold. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Benny, for coming.
Yeah.
Thank you, Fatima, for
Thank
coming.
You.
Okay. So, Benny, when you bought the house in 1965, how did you choose Robert Street?
Pardon me?
You bought the house on Robert Street.
Yeah.
How did you find Robert Street? Why Robert Street?
Well, I find that I go around for another houses, but I don't like so much. I like better that one.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I decided to buy that one, because I like the homes, I like the place, you know. And in that time, I paid
$11,900. Oh my God. Now, right now, you're a rich man.
Yeah.
And Benny, when you bought that house in 1965, did you know anybody on the street? Did you know anybody before you bought that house?
No, not quite, no. But when I bought the house, my neighbor, Mrs. Summer, and she's so happy I bought, because she likes Portuguese people. She's, I'm glad, because the young guy and Portuguese, and because that's that street is the most quiet on the, you know.
Yeah, it is in quiet.
Downtown.
Yes.
It's very quiet, especially weekend. You could sit outside, you're going to hear so quiet, so no noise, nothing.
It's the birds
and that's
chirping.
True. And that's true.
So is that the person who lived at 158, this woman who welcomed you? Who was the person who said, I like Portuguese people?
Oh, that's the owner of the house, Mrs. Summer. And you have Elena.
And that was the Jewish family that...
Yeah. And you have Elena and lives with the mother.
So that's the house that I was renting.
That's correct.
Okay, so I moved there 25 years ago and lived there for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I bought this house on Jordan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Mrs. Summer was the Jewish woman who was so friendly and...
She was my booby. Do you remember I told you that story?
Yes.
She helped raise me. Because my mom was sick for many years. In the mornings when my dad went... There was a period of time my mom was hospitalized. And my dad would drop me off next door, and I would sleep next door because he had to go to work early in the morning. And she would take care of me. I would come home and she would feed me lunch. And she was a beautiful person.
And did you call her Booby?
Is that what
you
called her? I did.
So you felt like family with her.
Definitely.
It's like a family to
yes.
us.
Mm-hmm.
We go there, she come there,
mm-hmm.
my house. And
we helped each other. My
we went to the Butt weddings, our show
yes,
and Circe.
Mm-hmm.
Say that again, you what?
Our show and Circe.
Rosalind Stein and Herschel Stein were the...
That's grandson and granddaughter.
Oh, those
yes.
are her family
yes,
members.
Yes,
yeah,
they lived
daughter
next
lives
door
there.
For many years. Yeah.
And we have our show and...
Herschel
uh-huh.
and her...
Circe.
We called her Circe, but her real... Her correct... or. Her name is really Rosalind, but we called her Circe
for
sure.
Oh, Rosalind,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Rosalind,
yeah.
Yeah.
That was,
like
yes,
that too,
yes.
Call her Circe. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So you were very close. They were like family.
They were.
And then
we helped, my dad used to do a lot of things for her around the house, even cutting her grass, things like that.
I'm
and then
the,
she would
I'm
help.
I'm the one cut the grass, I'm the one... paint the house
yes,
outside.
So we basically
always,
helped each other out.
Always she, because the son-in-law, he's work for the tailors.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, with the, she always make me pants. A pair of pants when I do the job, like paint the house. Buy me a sweat in the winter. Always do some. Buy me something when he. Yeah, very very friend. Very. If she need something, call my wife to sometimes open a jar or open a thing.
So both of you help each other
yes,
a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
You
definitely.
Were helpful and kind to her,
yeah.
and she was helpful and kind to you.
Even in Christmas, for Christmas, he come in my house, eat, drink. We go there too. Yeah, it's very fun. Yeah.
So then after that.
And I remember growing up and making, what's the soup that, the matzo ball soup. I would make it with her, and I would sit, sometimes they would invite me to their seders, and I loved it. I absolutely love to this day. And the sponge cake was my favorite. So yes, that's what I grew up having
yeah.
matzo ball soup, and you know.
So there's a piece of you that's Jewish.
There is definitely.
But what fond memories
yes.
you have! I mean,
oh, definitely.
Without her there, you could have had some hard times. If your mother was in the hospital, your dad had to go to work, and you felt like a family
yes.
member of hers.
Yeah.
And
they even used to help me out with schoolwork sometimes, like with homework, because my dad couldn't understand. You know, there was a language barrier there, so sometimes they would help me. So it was amazing, yeah.
So you had that family, and
mm-hmm.
then the Fudas had it, and they rented it out to students, I think, when
yes.
Johnny Fuda bought it, and then I moved in.
Correct.
So we've had some good neighbors.
Yes.
See, that school make, the school you have in Lowlands now?
Yes.
You make after when I bought that house.
Oh, they put up the new one.
Yeah.
And it was an old one.
Yeah, very old.
And they put up the new
and
one.
And they make a new school in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after I leave already in Robert Street.
So that was in the 60s then, because that was a very old school, and they
yeah.
took it down.
Yeah.
So sometime after you moved to Robert Street.
And after you want to take for French.
They wanted
for
to
French
make it a
language,
French emergent
that school.
School.
And the people... We fight, we have the demonstrations there, and we win because it was already very close to take away that school for French. Yeah?
They wanted to make it French exclusive.
So, you mean part of a Catholic school system?
No,
just
they just
immersion?
Just they wanted to make it exclusively French immersion.
Uh-huh.
And there was so many kids in the neighborhood, so... They still needed that school, so...
Because in that you know one thing? When I went in up north and worked in the railways...
Yes.
People coming from Montreal you have the same problem because to speak English, you have the same problem like I have. I say, my God, you live in Canada and you have a big problem to talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And that's why now, in that time, you don't make school, French school, thing. But now,
there is.
Yeah, every school has French.
Yes.
You know what
but
I mean?
But I think you wanted Fatima to learn English. Mm-hmm. She wasn't going to learn English at home. So you wanted to make school sure that she learned English properly at school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
she could learn French in addition.
Yes, exactly. Sure. Mm-hmm.
So the neighbors were strong, a very strong neighbor association mm-hmm. to fight that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. I know we have a strong residents association yeah. now, but I didn't know that in the 60s and 70s, that when you wanted something, even that far back, you fought for it.
They yeah. had a big demonstration, like he said, and they won. Like, I don't know that much of... I was very young at the time, but... Yep.
But you wanted your daughter Fatima to learn English properly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
French could come after that.
Yeah, well... because you want to take just for French.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't want it for her to be in English, just for French.
Yeah.
And we...
Of course, they didn't agree.
Don't give
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you made it happen, so mm-hmm. it's an English.
But now, schools have French mm-hmm. and they have English mm-hmm. together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you have some hours in French too.
Actually, that school now yeah. has some French immersion exclusive.
And where is so another language?
They also teach
Spanish
and Spanish. Mandarin,
no Portuguese,
Cantonese.
Yeah,
yeah. I put
that's
in the
international port- languages. Yes, they have an international languages program.
I put her in Portuguese school
mm-hmm. on the weekend. You mean
yes?
No, after they finish the
yes.
school,
yeah.
she go there.
Mm-hmm.
I pay $50 a month for her to be there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you wanted her to know your culture, the
yes.
country that you
yeah,
came from.
Yeah, but she could write Portuguese, yeah. a lot in Portuguese. She talked Portuguese. See, she talked all Portuguese and more than Jordana and Alia. She talked better Portuguese.
Yeah.
Jordan, okay, but Ali, I think you're going to lose a little bit.
Yeah, that's what
yeah.
happens from
yes.
one generation
yes,
to
exactly.
the next and to the next
yeah,
generation.
But the thing, I was babysitter, I talk in Portuguese all the time. That's why you bring them our language.
I think that's wonderful. So
yeah.
as their
yeah.
babysitter, they
yeah.
learn Portuguese from
mm-hmm.
you. That's wonderful, absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But do they answer in English now? Do you still speak Portuguese with them, Benny, or do you speak English to them now?
To who?
To your grandchildren.
Oh, pretty close all the time. I'm Portuguese.
Good, good. But
yeah,
do they answer in Portuguese? Or
yeah,
English?
Yeah, he knows.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, but sometimes, aquela questa casa. Aquela casa, quarta casa, a little bit.
So it's a little bit
Portuguese,
slang, like they're losing
yeah.
a little bit of the proper.
Things like that.
Yeah. Yo, but it's because of you that they speak Portuguese at all.
Yeah.
Even if it's a little
yeah.
bit different or
and
a bit slang.
And my mom too, because she couldn't speak English, so they had no choice but to learn.
She don't speak much
my
because she never work.
Yeah.
And when you don't work,
yeah.
If you don't go to school, you can learn.
Yeah, you either have to go to work or be in the street.
I never go to school. I don't speak English perfect because, you know, but I never go to school. I learn from work.
Yeah.
Because when you go to work, like factory, you think, we have to learn, otherwise.
Yeah. And at that time, right now they have classes. I don't think that so many years ago they had classes to teach you English.
You
didn't go to school.
I want to take my wife in school.
Yeah.
She don't want to go.
How did you learn how to speak English?
What I learned?
Yes.
Well, I learned in the school.
Oh, okay.
In the job.
In the job.
In the
yeah.
job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Benny, you learned it just fine, because I've been speaking to you now for 25 years, only in English, and you speak just fine.
Well, yeah. For us, we like I know school, I never have the pronunciation like the way it's supposed to be. You know what I mean?
I understand.
Yeah.
So you don't pronounce it.
Yeah,
you, but that's fine. So the way I look at it is, if somebody speaks with an accent, it shows that they know another language. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something to be proud of. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it. Because you speak Portuguese fluently. I don't know a word of Portuguese. So it shows that you speak another language. And I hope you feel good about that.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to speak our language too. Like Portuguese, the English. I told my daughter, he's gonna learn anyway.
Yes.
Because he's going to school.
Yeah.
But Portuguese, better we talk Portuguese because you know.
I agree completely. Now, when you bought that house, you had this Jewish family that you shared a wall with. Who else lived in the neighborhood? What other people? From what other countries and what languages?
Oh yeah, I have the next door after Mrs. Summer is Italian.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Miss Agostino.
I remember that.
Agostino, yes.
Yeah, after that, Portuguese.
Uh-huh.
Across the hall.
It's the Cabral family.
Is, across the hall is Italia. Right in the... little bit down is Mrs. Summer.
Yeah.
There's old lady too, already maybe 75.
Oh, very, very old, eh, Benny?
I'm older.
I'm just saying because you're 83 now, or nearly 83, so that's why I'm laughing. Yeah. So you're saying Portuguese, Italian, and Jewish?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else? Fatima, maybe you can add to this too, if you remember. Because, of course, you spent your whole life at 156, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
So, Italian, Portuguese, Jewish, any other groups of people that you
Wasn't there Yugoslavian too?
Oh, you have an English people too.
Yes, English and Yugoslavian.
That house, a big house. The two sister and brother live in there, but the sister passed away. The brother wanted to give me... You know, Joe, the son-in-law, the Mrs. Summer, my neighbor, is my neighbor.
So the house that you, the same that house, 158.
The one we talk about.
They were going to join forces and buy the house across the street. So they were going to go, and I guess my dad decided.
Yeah, that house
a
no,
risky.
That house
adventure,
a no, maybe so. $2 million. $2 million. Because you have... Big backyard, yeah. Is a big house, and take plastic from the Mario.
Oh, I remember where Mario was.
Yes.
You take another half backyard too.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why it happened that thing. You take half a backyard.
So they took half of Mario's backyard. So they have a huge backyard then.
Yeah. You take, and we have that driveway. You could make a street. You could make a house.
Oh, that's behind that.
Because it's big lot. Our side, the lot is more smaller.
In the back.
Smaller.
But on the other side,
but
it's...
Even the driveway, everything is bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's very...
Did the different groups of people... go into each other's homes? Were they friendly? Did they get along? I mean, the Italian people, Portuguese, Jewish, did they mix and were they friends or did they each stick with their own group?
Yeah, I was very... I never had a problem. All neighborhood. Portuguese, Italian, even today.
Yeah.
Even today, I never had a problem. Because, you know, when my mother, my parents, when he back home, he says, better have one bad year in production than have one bad neighbor. Because the neighbor we see every day. And the production, one bad year, next year he could repair.
Oh, wow. what an interesting, beautiful message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Benny, you live your life that way. I mean, you are such a friendly person, and I know you still help people on Robert Street, and you come here and you help me too.
You know one thing, I do for Jake, the one who's bought the house, Italian family, but he's Russian, from he's Rosh.
Mm-hmm. From Russia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from Russia. And I do the backyard, you know, the garden in the front, in the back, and I do for you, I do for me, and the family have adopted Zora, Nessa.
They adopted her.
Yes, I think you know her.
Next week, I'm going to start to do for her too, because he asked me already.
So he's the backup when people go on vacation. He fills in and helps out.
Even my age, I like to help people because,
I know.
You know.
But you got that message from your parents as a child. To be a good neighbor is very important. And you live that way every day.
Yeah, you that's
do.
Right.
Everybody knows you as very friendly.
I think that's the best way to live.
Yeah.
And he lived. Because, you know, my neighbor, the daughter, the husband, he's separated now because he's mixed. And he bought the house. I'm not sure the street. He bought the house. And he fight with the neighbor. In month or 2 months later, they bought the house. He have to sell the house because he
can't get along.
Yeah, can see that's that's not my style.
No, it isn't. I know that. I know I've known you now for 25 years. I know your style and how friendly and how helpful you are. Fatima. What I want to talk to you a little bit about is you grew up on the street, mm-hmm. and you have your family there. What do you remember about playing with other kids in the neighborhood? Where did you play? What kinds of games did you play?
Well, in the summertime, we didn't have... There was a neighborhood camp, which was at the Knox Church, and it was free, but mostly the boys went there, not the girls, because... In my case, I have a disabled sister, so I helped take care of her, and I was at home, and we would do things on the veranda. So we would draw and color.
Yeah, and your cousins come and play with you
and play, and I would have my cousins come over, and my dad would take us out sometimes to the park, and we would do different things. But in the neighborhood, what I most remember was there was lots of children, and mm-hmm. we would just get together and play on the street, whether it would be, you know, just with a soccer ball, or it was just an amazing, I had so much fun. It was very carefree and just a lot of fun. And even though I wasn't in any scheduled, you know, camp, or it was an amazing environment to be in, because the kids we were just I didn't even want to go home to eat. It was just play in
so
on
just
the street,
right on the street. When you say on the street, the sidewalk, the road, the verandas, the back lane, where back gardens, where it
usually in the front, because mm-hmm. I guess the parents wanted to see us, but on this, you know, and if a car came by, we would mm-hmm. stop playing. Or sometimes, you know, during the day we would play on the verandas, different verandas. And I remember my dad would give me $1, or, you know, I would get together with my neighbor, and we were growing up together at the same time. So one day her father would give her money, one day it would be mine. And $1 back then went a long way. So we would pool our money together and go to the corner store and buy, you know, ice cream, candy. And it was just... The best time. So just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Just
But he play, you know, the boys from that Droje. She bought the close to Mario
mm-hmm.
house.
Yeah.
The boys, the sons, he play hockey.
Hockey,
on the street.
In the street.
Yes, on the
street. Yeah, or nets,
yes.
Because in that time, No, no traffic.
Not as much traffic.
Well, I want to for a long time, no car.
So they can just put the nets right on the road.
Yeah.
Play one net there, another net there, and the boys play hockey. Yeah, you could play lots of them in the front.
So the children played right on the sidewalks, on the road.
Yeah, yes. But now it's different because more traffic. Yeah, everything's more deep.
But I think back then it was a lot of immigrant families, and you know, it was just basically they were raising their kids and everybody just kind of, you know, but families helped each other out, and the kids got together and played, and that's
40 years,
just the way it was. It was
40 years ago.
Different.
40 years ago is a big different than now. Now it's more traffic, more cars, more people, more. You know.
Yeah, so the kids couldn't play on the road because they'd be dragging these nets off the road every 10 seconds or 40 seconds. Uh-huh. But you said, Fatima, that when you played with your sister, you were taking care of your sister. You were on the front veranda sometimes.
Well, I mean, she went to school, but in the summer, sometimes she would sit outside, or sometimes... My mom, she would be inside with my mom, but I also helped take care of her. And we, through my sister, we met amazing people. The taxi driver that would take my sister to school used to come and bring us ice cream and sit with us on the veranda, and just the most amazing people we met. And then we used to have renters that we rented upstairs. Mm-hmm. And they used to sit with me and play Scrabble on the front porch.
Yeah.
So just met the most amazing people growing up. I mean, I would play with people who were studying to be lawyers, but they were just so down to earth, and doctors, and you know. And they would sit with me on the veranda and play Scrabble. To this day, I love playing Scrabble. So,
I remember spending hours on the weekends and in the evenings sitting on the veranda, mm-hmm. either on your side or sometimes come to my side, or certainly when you had Jordan, he would come. But a lot of veranda sitting and being friendly with the neighbors.
Yes.
You remember that from your childhood.
I do, and just very...
Casual,
and the kids would play together, and we would just, you know, everybody go outside, and before you know, you have a game of something, you know, that we would just...
Are people using the verandas now as much?
Somewhat. I mean, I think people now are more busy, mm-hmm. you know, on the weekends, I think, and maybe in the evenings, people still do sit outside. Mm-hmm. So...
I remember... hours sitting outside. Mm. Sometimes you would go in and I'd be with your husband outside till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 12:30 in the morning, just sitting outside. Yeah. It was,
Well, my husband yesterday he went out to take the dog, and he ended up talking with a few of the neighbors for, you know, a little while. Yeah. So, I mean, we still do that, converse, you know, every so often.
You know, I have the most happy memories and loving memories of doing that on Robert Street. I don't see as much happening on Borden. I mean, I like Borden. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy here. Mm-hmm. But we don't do it as much here as I did it mm-hmm. with you guys mm-hmm. when we were all there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about the back lane? Did you use it at all?
Sometimes.
It's okay.
We used to play in the backyard sometimes.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember more the front for some mm-hmm. reason. I don't know why. I think it was just more as my dad said, I don't think the cars were as busy, and it was just usually where we played. Mm-hmm. So,
well, it's easier to find each other.
Yes, exactly.
Right out in the front.
Exactly. I mean, sometimes we would play in the back, but I think it was mostly the front. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't as
we have a big peach tree in the backyard.
What kind of tree?
Peach.
Peach. You still have it?
No.
It was actually on our neighbor's side.
That's years ago, maybe 35 years ago.
Uh-huh.
You have white and that's the fence and the big tree, peach tree. And I was put a wood in the tomatoes in my garden. My wife come and you have the stairs, come in the stairs, Yeah, the square in the peach tree.
Yeah.
And I put a water. You know what the square do? My wife coming was there. He jumped on the top of my wife.
Jumped onto her shoulder?
Because I put
That's my dad was always joking, always up to
so
no good.
On her shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
And
but
then he
but
went away.
At the same time, jumping there and then go.
Oh my God! But she got scared. Was she angry at you?
Of course. Because he's the one that put water. He was being playful. He's the one that put water on the squirrel. He was just being
one
playful.
One time, I see her. Oh, look in my eye. I had a mouthful of water. Look in my eye. Is she looking?
Oh, you squirted your wife.
I have to hold in the driveway because she had a broom.
She was... So you found it funnier than your wife
Of course. He was always the practical joker.
Denny, would you talk about where you were working? Where all those years beginning when you moved to...
I work.
Yeah.
That's the time when I come in Canada.
Yeah.
I worked 2 years in Canadian National Railway, up north. Saskatchewan,
Saskatchewan,
Winnipeg,
you live in Saskatchewan,
Calgary, all around that bush.
Wait a minute. Were you already living in Toronto, but they sent you there, or did you live in those places?
No.
What?
That time I was. That's when I come in Canada.
Oh, when you came to Toronto. I mean, when you finally moved to Robert Street, where did you work after that?
After
when you were already living, after you were
there. I worked 32 years in Nielsen's.
Nielsen's Chocolate.
Yeah, uh-huh. 32 years. I retired there. That's my 22nd year I retired. In January is 22 years already I retired. And when I because the company gave me a package if I want. Mm-hmm. 4 years early. Mm-hmm.
So you retired at 61?
Huh?
You retired at 61 years old?
Yeah, that's right. 4 years before my retire time. And the company gave 3 months to think about. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have to go if I don't want to, because we have union.
Yeah.
Supervisors, bosses, when he says, you go, you have to go, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can no protection, but we have protection. And after the last week, before 3 months finish, I signed to
retire early.
That was the best thing I do.
Oh,
after that, you know, I worked 3 years in the landscaper.
Oh, really?
Working hard. I was strong, like 25 years old in that time.
Yeah.
You're
still strong.
And I worked 3 years in a landscaper with my nephew.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. My nephew had that.
He had a business.
Yes.
So you worked for your
nephew. I say, okay, I don't pay tax. I don't pay money for stamps. I don't need that. And you give me $8 clear for an hour. Yeah. Was good money, you know.
But you worked hard for that eight clear dollars.
Yeah, $8 at that time.
Yeah.
I got an hour of that money clear. No, no make contact to the government.
Yeah.
And
so
after that, I quit for... I have to take Jordan, Bibi Seater, Lalia, you know,
So just for the tape, I want to say that what you're referring to now is when you became a grandfather and your daughter and son-in-law were working, you raised your grandchildren while they were at work.
Yeah.
Big job.
Mm-hmm. But you know, in the winter time, that roofs, you know, put in your flat roofs?
Yes.
Because you have to cut the older roofs out, put a work for the Simp Gutter, one company put a new roofs.
So you work for a roofing company for a little
yeah,
while?
Yeah, I worked for 1 year for a roof company. But before going to the factory. But you know what happened? We cut the roof. We don't have protection for the eyes. When it caught the wind, bring them. I have to wash in my eyes with tea. Make tea with...
So you injured your eyes in some way?
Yeah, because it is gold. The black paint, the right one, when you cut by showers, take the old one out.
They didn't even wear the protection.
The things coming are... Oh, boy. Yeah. In the night time, I can sleep when I sleep. After things come out black.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, but now everything, you have protection, you have glasses, you have everything. But that time, no.
So that was after you left Nielsen's?
No, that's before Nielsen's.
Oh, before Nielsen's.
Yeah, before. Okay. I'm 58 years going to make in Canada.
Yeah,
I work in a couple of companies.
I want to talk about, you've lived on Robert Street for so many years. How has Robert Street changed? The people, in what ways, what changes have you seen? Either of you.
I would say the changes are that it's because of the value of the houses, it's more professionals that have bought the homes because young families that are just starting out, I don't think can afford the homes in around this area. So that's why you don't have as many families and as many children in the neighborhood like we did back then. So I would say that's the biggest change. It's more professionals and, you know, there still are children and just not as many because most families, I believe, are unfortunately can only afford to go in the outskirts of, you know, of Toronto, more like maybe Etobicoke or Mississauga. So I would say financially,
yes,
they cannot afford the, right. You know.
So it's a more affluent group of people who are buying the homes
now.
And fewer children.
I would say yes. I'd say that's probably one of the biggest changes. I mean, even the school board has acknowledged that there's not as many, you know, the school, like they wanted to close Lord Lansdowne. And my children have gone there. Both my children have gone. Aaliyah's still there. And they wanted to close it. And so what happened was it's now part an alternative school there as well. And it's becoming French immersion because otherwise if they didn't evolve and change because of the low registration of kids, it might have closed. So that's how they...
So that's how they saved the school from closing.
Yes. Because they have to bring up the numbers.
Yeah, so that was creative thinking to use the school and not lose it.
Exactly.
You know, one Jewish family, Tam, you know Tam? Tam lives a little bit longer with that.
A Jewish family that lived closer to the school?
Tam, you know the driveway of that?
Tim Grant.
Oh, Tim, yes.
Tam.
Yeah.
He's a Jewish family live in that house. He bought that house from the...
Oh, really?
And Elena, he have cancer, the Jewish lady. And the husband, she passed away. His husband stay alone there for a while. But after, he have to go in the home. Oh. And he says, Benny, you want to buy my house? I say, I have one, you know. I say, okay. But he says, don't sell your house because that house is not be too long. It's going to be worth for $100,000.
He was right. That person was right.
Yeah, he's go for, you know, I say, no, I don't sell because I like the way, you know, the way I was.
So and that's the person that Tim Grant bought the house from. This person you're talking about.
Yeah, you have to sell him house because you have one son. Mm-hmm. The son is married. And he sold that time maybe, I don't know, maybe already for 30,000, something like that. Yeah, that's the same big house. You want to sell me for 30,000. A salesman bought the house for $30,000. He keep him for 1 year or less of a year, and he sell for 180,000. Yeah.
Wait, now, which house is that? Across the street from you?
Across the street,
yes.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Yeah, just on another side. Mm-hmm. That's the one we talk about. You have
so huge.
A big backyard.
Yes, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. But your home must be worth a lot now. I mean, you did beautiful renovations.
Yes, we had no choice. It was either we renovate or we move because it was becoming too small because my children were growing.
Yeah.
And really, those houses are, I mean, nowadays more single families.
Mm-hmm.
But in our case, because my parents are living with us, you know, and aging, we just decided to stay together and renovate, and we didn't. My parents didn't want to move, so
yeah.
We decided.
And there's three generations there now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That street too expensive.
Oh.
The house is too expensive. I don't know, because if you open the mouth for $1 million for that house, you're gonna give. You're gonna take.
Yeah.
Gonna,
yeah. Yeah. But then you have to buy something somewhere else.
I know, but
mm-hmm.
we make big renovation, but no, not for sale.
That's right.
But as Fatima just said, you needed a bigger house.
One day when I pass away, she have a house for the rest of her life.
Yeah, and a beautiful home in a great location.
Yeah, that's it costs quite a lot of money, but it's worth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's worth, because if you want to do that, what do you... We do before, 5 years ago, and they cost more, much more money.
Mm. Yeah, you did a beautiful job.
And a lot of
job.
People do spend money in the houses, but you don't do the right way. Because the first thing, we have heat in the basement, in the floor. We have waterproof all around.
Mm.
Don't want a drop coming. If you some drop water coming, it's going to tank. You have one tank.
So your house is
when
really
the
well
water when the water touch in the pump, come out.
Yeah, yeah.
And some people have, how many thousand people have
this last
one
right. Yes,
across the road? I see the mother and the daughter, pair stick water, and they give $1,450,000.
They bought it for a month and a half, and they're taking Bill's water out during the storm.
2-3 months ago.
Oh, my God.
He bought. Yeah, close million and a half.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Not
see?
Funny, but it's...
And you don't do the right way, because when you spend money, you should...
Make sure the foundation and everything is good.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying,
Yeah.
I know that they've changed the traffic going this way, going north, south. When you first moved there, which way did the traffic go? Between Harvard and College, which way did the cars go? Or did they go both ways?
Oh, well, changed so much. Oh. Now, we could come in from College.
Yeah.
We could come up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you don't give the both ways. Because the when you have school, even one way. You have school in that.
Because there's
street.
A school in the neighborhood,
yeah.
So they have to restrict.
So that part was restricted a long time ago.
Yes,
yeah.
But we found that because it's such a lot, it was what was happening as the traffic increased, some of the younger drivers would just race down Robert Street. So they actually had, I don't know if it was the Ministry of Transportation, or, you know, they put something there so they could monitor the traffic, and then that's when they started changing.
So they calculated how many cars were
I think so,
it.
Yeah.
And also at
yes,
the speed.
Yes, probably, yeah. I'm not sure if it calculated speed
that's
or just
not,
how many cars were
no,
going
No, that's
through.
Not many cars. That's for slow down.
Yes, yeah. There was they were
for
speeding.
Slow down.
That's right.
For,
so then they started changing a lot
more
of the
safety,
streets.
More safety.
Yes.
Did you like those changes, when they made those changes?
Well, the change, you know, is not so good, is bad for this, because that's around that street, Brunswick, Major, Robert, all that streets change.
Mm-hmm. You think it's better?
Well, better. Could be more safe. Could
this
be more,
way?
Yes.
Yeah, because from our board to Kalish, halfway go down, halfway come up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially when you have school.
Yeah.
And we coming up to Robert when you have to go to Spadina. Spadina, you have to go up.
Yeah.
And to, if you want to come in Robert, you have to go up. And you have to turn the small street over there to come in. You know, some people the first time make a big confusion.
Oh, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people make confusion to the right way, have to drive there. You know.
So I think for safety reasons it was very good, but it, then it turned almost maze-like.
Yeah,
like it turned into a maze, and a lot of people would get lost or so. But people are used to it now. But at the beginning, it was a little confusing.
See, when you coming from the college, you come up.
Yeah.
But you, when you finish the school,
yeah.
you have another small street.
Yeah.
You have to go there.
That, it takes you back to Spadina.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Because from halfway, someone's coming down.
Yeah.
The car's coming down. And if you want to go up and that, it's going up. You know what I mean? It's a, you have three ways there, it's so short. Yeah.
But I remember when I was living beside you on Robert Street, all the cars that would go the wrong way, and we would all yell at them and give them the finger, and they would give it back to us. Right? They did it a lot.
You still get the occasional, but it's much more rare.
Yeah. But it does slow the traffic down.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
But of course, your family lived without a car until you bought one.
That's correct.
And your parents never had a car.
No, my dad never had the desire to drive.
I never. She wanted to buy a. She wanted to buy a car. When he, when he's home, I say no, I don't want to drive. And you go, I'm gonna buy a car, and you go. Go out in the car and the
he didn't want to have to worry.
But she have a car.
Yes.
The time he bought.
Yeah.
She have a little touch.
Uh huh.
A little touch.
A little scratch.
A little bit accidental, but no much.
Yeah, yeah.
She gets scared. He don't drive much.
So who's is Fernando the main driver?
Yes, he is.
Yes, yeah. Fernando is good. Drive very good.
I mean, I still drive when I have to, but it's it's not a big. I prefer to walk everywhere. That's why I love living where I do and take transit and
Well, you know what? Let's come to that because I think that's an important part of living in this neighborhood.
Pardon?
Eh?
What's that? No, it's
Hatrakaza.
Sorry.
Okay. So, but Fatima, you were saying that I feel the same way about living in this neighborhood. And Benny, you're the same. We like to walk.
Yes.
And when you live in this neighborhood, it's so easy to walk to get so much that you want.
Yes.
Yeah. So you use public transportation and you walk.
Yes.
Yeah, that's your combination.
And we have the car too now. Yeah. I mean, you do need it even because we are six people in the house and we need it even just to do our groceries and things like that. Yeah. So, and, but.
Some days I walk too much.
You do walk a lot.
Yeah, I get tired. My God,
it's good for you.
Yeah. Tell me about the stores in your neighborhood. That what they were like all those years ago. What were the stores and what do you have there now? The stores in your neighborhood.
Where did you shop when you first had Robert Street?
The two shopping.
Yes.
You know the August the market.
Yes.
That Jewish guys. He likes Portuguese people.
Jewish guys? They like
Portuguese people. Yeah, Portuguese people. Yeah, I have watched and I have plates, I have a blanket, because he gives stamps. We fill him up the books, how many books he need for that and that. I have things because I shop in there,
And people in the marketplace have those stamps?
Yeah,
I remember those from when I was a child.
Yeah, he gave the stamps Sometimes the son-in-law is young. He have the father-in-law is the one is in the cash, you know, and he know me. Sometimes he give me quite a little more, you know.
A few extra steps so you get your gifts faster. Yeah. So what were some of the gifts? You got blankets, you said, and dishes?
But yeah, they give, give dishes, they give cup. I got a blanket from that stamp.
A watch.
I got a nice watch in the wall, you know.
Yeah. A clock.
Oh. So they had good gifts when you collected enough books of stamps.
Yeah, when you have four or five books, you have that. So, like a blanket, maybe I think 10 books or something like that.
Because it's more, but it really gets you to go back to that store.
And that way make the
customers,
the people go to there, go back to more.
Exactly. Did you do most of your food shopping at Kensington Market or at the small stores?
Even boots, clothes. Now it's more down, more quiet. But my boot, for around a couple of years ago, maybe 2 years ago, he went by a pair of boots in Augusta.
On Augusta.
And winter boots.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, how much you pay? Oh, 50 some, you know. Okay, I like it, but I'm going to see it, but I don't pay like $50. No.
So back
he
then?
He pay $50 with tax and everything. And $50. No, I don't pay tax. If you want, I pay $40 and that's it.
What I remember,
otherwise I go another place.
What
to,
I remember growing up.
I start to walk. I say, she say, okay, take that.
So you could bargain with them.
I remember growing up, and my dad would haggle with the store owners. That's what I was going to say. I remember him haggling and saying, "Oh no, come on, you got to reduce the price." And that was a common thing back then.
I always
haggling and trying to get, you know, okay, I'll get this and this for this amount of money, and. So I remember that, and that was common back
then. But you know what you won in Queen Street when I bought my furniture? And he says, oh, you're with men to pay, but hard to make business with you.
So you're tough. Oh, good for you, Benny. Better in your pocket.
He's a good negotiator.
Artenova, she bought furniture
for her floor. Yeah. You mean?
Yeah. No, when you get married.
Yeah,
my bedroom.
And even though I have two big lamps because given free, I buy that. He says, "Oh, that's like a you have to give something." Then he gave her, but she never say nothing. Hey, what's the matter? And she have to go back.
Yeah.
You get to run.
So you have to learn from your father. That's, yeah. So Benny, is that what you did in Portugal, in the Azores, that you would bargain? You would go to the market bargain?
You have to do that too in Portugal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sure.
But it was common here too. No. Other people did it.
So the market was a place for bargaining.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't go to Eaton's and bargain.
I don't think so.
But to the market you would.
Yes. Even clothes for everything. I don't give a right way for the place you want.
Oh, these are good stories.
As sometimes it was embarrassing because we would start to walk out of the store and I'd say, Dad, I really want that coat. and then eventually...
Sometimes you have to try go to walk outside, to walk and to... Hey, come on.
So it worked. Did you ever not get what you wanted because they were too tough, or did you usually pretty much get what you wanted because you're fine?
I have to say my dad was pretty good that way. He always spoiled.
He bargained them down.
Yes.
And you got what you wanted.
Yes.
Benny, you're tough.
Yeah. Oh, these are great stories. Your backyard.
Oh, I just want to say, yes, Armistead's as well was a great. They used to have amazing. My dad used to shop there a lot, Armistead's, because it was. They had pretty good things there and good quality things.
Yeah.
Years ago, I have quite. It's good. Now it's very.
Not.
It's for sale.
It's
for sale
yes,
now.
Yes. So,
but
you're saying, I know I bought a lot of stuff for my kitchen at Armistead's.
Yeah, and so, we still have dishes that my dad bought there. Yeah.
I have good dishes I bought years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about Harbert Street? Would you just talk about what you remember about Harbert? What it was like 30 and 40 years ago and what it's like now? Harbert Street.
Harbert?
Yeah.
Oh, it's big difference because it's very, very busy. You know Harbert Street? In that town, that's the best street to drive.
Harbert Street?
In special winter time because no railers, no. It's nice to.
So it doesn't have drive. The streetcar tracks and not as much traffic, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah, it's very, very good. The people are. Before, years ago, no, not so busy. But now, that street is very busy in the cars.
Cars and bikes.
Big thing.
Yeah, because I see that.
We, lots and lots of cars, year by year, in Canada. It's get too much. Too much.
Yeah.
He says already, he's pile them up, so many cars.
Yeah, I've seen. I mean, you've been here much longer than I have. But even in the 25 years that I'm here, I've seen Harbert Street increase. Especially in the morning, the cars are going east, and the evening they're going back west, and hundreds of bikes also.
Yeah, but you want to make a line just for the bikes?
Oh, a bike lane.
That Harbert Street. My God, in the morning, 7, 8 o'clock, believe me, sometimes you have 30, 50 bikes coming in the line.
A lot of bikes.
Yeah,
I know, I see.
Yeah. And I heard in the news already, you want to make one line just for the bikes, because so many bikes today.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah. That's a whole discussion.
More safe, to be more safe.
Yeah. When you first moved to your house, how did you heat the house at that time? Heating the house, warming it up.
What do you eat?
Heat the house. How did you heat? You had oil, right?
I have oil. But you know one thing? When I bought the house, was oil.
Uh-huh.
I have a big furnace in the middle of the basement. Pipes there. And the gas company in that time, you go around when you know people have oil, things like you to put it for gas, change for gas. And I have that, the gas company, you know how much I pay for my furnace? $250, $500, because company give $250. And I give 250, and I pay in my bill when he coming. He put so much a month. You know what I mean? Pay my.
So it was prorated, probably. Uh-huh. Prorated, maybe for a whole
and,
year.
That's the way. In that time, we have a chance to have the oil to change for gas. Company APF.
Good. That makes sense. Go ahead.
Because they want your business too, right?
Yeah.
So they have to meet you halfway.
Money after. You know now that the renovation we make, we have insulation, all walls, and even the touch walls I made for the noise, everything. But you know one thing? I used to pay 270, 200. Now I pay $100, no intertime.
Because it's 110, well insulated.
Very economical.
We got a better furnace too.
But my furnace is
economic
new.
Economic furnace.
Yes.
It's good. Very. I save more $1,000 a year.
Yeah.
Just for the gas.
Mm-hmm.
Because that I see big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big
what about air conditioning? Do you have air conditioning?
Yeah.
And when did you put that in?
I put it 5 years before the renovation, or 2 years before the renovation.
No, when did you first put in the house?
Oh, you know, I'm going to tell you one thing. Inspector, I have a furnace and for 20 years. I have that furnace. But that's 7-8 years ago, the new one. You remember when you go to the front, that there was so hot, when you go to the front, down there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
The furniture stopped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have for 20 years that furniture, that air condition, I mean.
Oh, so you put it in 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years, the air condition.
Yeah.
And it stops, remember?
Stopped working, so we had to get a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
But, yeah.
And when did you put the air conditioner? Do you remember when?
When did you that's that was 20 years old. We put it 7 years ago. And
no, when did you first put the air conditioner in the house? Do you remember? First.
The first one, that's 27 20.
So by the time I was living there, you had an air conditioner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I put it 27 years ago, maybe.
Yes.
27 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the JCC at Bloor and Spadina, has your family used that in any way?
Yes.
How?
Jordan went to the daycare there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I remember the lady who took care of, she was just the nicest lady.
Elaine Comey.
Yes, she...
Oh, so that was the school, that was the nursery
yes,
school.
Yes, yes. So, and we were looking to integrate Jordan in somewhere in the neighborhood, and I was looking at a couple of different daycares. It was only half day because now the schools are full day. Mm-hmm. But I was looking to get him starting to be with other kids before he went to junior kindergarten because I wanted him to have that. I had my parents looking after him, so it was my choice to put him mm-hmm. in a daycare just for him to get some exposure.
A gradual change.
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah. So we put him there for, I think, about a year or so, yeah. And then Aaliyah went there as well.
So they both went to Elaine Comey's nursery school.
Yes, and then, yes.
And what was that like for them?
Oh, amazing. Yeah. It was a very good experience. And I actually worked out at the JCC for a while for a year or two. I was a member. And then I ended up going closer to my work because it was easier for me. I go on my lunch hour.
Oh,
so that I had to... So obviously for me it was easier just to do to get a fitness somewhere closer to my work. So
that's when Jordan go for CC?
Yeah, do you remember? The daycare. My dad said it was actually more work
God.
For him. Because
one time I hired him up. Right in the hall, that's the home there, they have a hall on the side, higher. He's looking for me. Jordan looking
so
for me.
It was a big adjustment for him.
Oh,
he was
my
very
God.
Attached to my dad.
When he see me, you go grab me. Sometimes I sit in there and...
He had to sit there and because
for
a while.
And after,
because he was...
That's nice lady. The
Elaine Comey.
Yes.
And he says, "Oh, stay for a while. I have to go."
Yeah.
After I
once
phone,
he started playing, and
I go and I phone back to see if he's okay.
So I guess it was hard for Jordan. It was also hard.
Yes.
It was also hard for you to leave Jordan there.
Yeah. Oh boy. He's very close to me. Yeah. Oh my God.
How old is Jordan now?
17.
And what school is he going to?
He's in Central Tech right now.
Uh-huh. And is he studying anything in particular or straight high school?
Well, he likes he's in the law program, and he's thinking of going into the police foundation. So I don't know if he's thinking of a police officer position, so which I'm not crazy about, but
as a mother, I understand.
Yes, that's what he's interested in, something, and that's why he's taking the law program, because it, you know, involves.
Yeah, give him some familiarity.
Yes, exactly.
So he went to Lansdowne, and now he's at Central
Yes,
Tech.
He learned how to...
self-defense?
Not self-defense. Sorry, he was interested first in mechanical, like with cars, but then he decided that wasn't for him. So, but it was good for him to try.
Sure.
Yeah.
And Aaliyah, what will she do?
She, right now, she's thinking of a veterinarian, or she loves animals or something. So, I don't know. It could change. Yeah. I mean, she's still very young.
And what grade is she in?
She's going to grade 7 next year, in September.
And what's the last year of Lansdowne?
8. So 2 more years, and then she goes to high school.
And has she thought about what school, or have you thought about that?
I think she wants to go to Harvard Collegiate, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you feel about this neighborhood in terms of safety? The way it is now, the way it was 20 years ago, the way it was 40 years ago. Was it safe? Is it safe? What are your thoughts about that?
The neighborhood, is it safe? Safety back then? Very.
Yeah. Because have you safe in there or
safe in the safety in the neighborhood back when you first moved in? Was a very safe neighborhood.
Oh yeah, very quiet, very safe, because population is less too.
Less
and,
population.
Today more people coming from some countries because the time I come and. You have to come and people be no problems, no nothing. Because even if you have a little bit of nervous, accused nervous, you don't pass. You know what I mean?
Immigration, you're talking about immigration. So he's talking the rules were much more stricter
but
to come to Canada.
The people coming that time, it's okay. People are more friendly, more. But today, from some countries, coming people, you make more. You have more problems.
So you worry about our neighborhood that there are people.
Well,
who are not
for us, there still okay, still good, still good. But some places.
Yeah. So you think in Toronto there are some places that are less dangerous. But our neighborhood, is it a safe place
good.
Now?
Yeah, it's very good.
It is still a
so
safe
far,
place.
It's good.
Yeah, and what it's do you think, good. Fatima? You think it's a safe place?
It is, but the world, I think it's becoming increasingly, you know, more violent, and unfortunately. So it could happen anywhere.
Yeah.
So that's my concern, especially with my children. So basically, you know, just you could be at the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, there's random, as you hear in the news, random acts of violent, you know, things happening. Like the other day on the streetcar, that gentleman pulled a knife. And so things like that. But I would say overall, our neighborhood is pretty safe. I think we have a really good neighborhood safety, like a neighborhood watch. Mm-hmm. Even the other day, there was a wire that was on fire, right, like very close to the tree in our, like beside our neighbors. And one of our neighbors knocked on our door and said, you know, I just want to let you know that we called the fire department and it's on its way. And so that was wonderful of her to just let us know. So even that, like, I think we have a very good neighborhood watch. Oh, and back then as well, very much.
Our neighbors is good.
Yeah, I think
everyone wants to be in safe.
Yeah. So
I like to be safe. That one, you do the same to be safe. I know all the horn is great.
The only thing that I find now is sometimes the noise, like on the weekends, we have a lot of UFT students, and that's a bit of a concern with the noise, you know, with them partying and the noise levels going up a bit, and in that area, in the area.
That's so funny, because I was just going to ask you about University of Toronto. So close.
That's happened sometimes like that, because once in a while, yeah, we could have a party once a year or something like that. It's okay. It's normal.
There is a lot of... He doesn't understand. What I'm saying is there's a lot of, fraternity houses and things. And I think they're on Harvard, some of them. And then there's a few homes in and around that rent out to students that sometimes they party, So that's what I mean. And I think most of the neighborhood is aware of that. Unfortunately, that comes with,
They're not respectful of their neighbors.
Exactly, because they live there maybe a few years and then they leave, right? Yeah. Or maybe 1 or 2 years while they're in, is usually they live, I think, on campus for the first year, and then after the first year, they have to go and find other living quarters, right?
So you're saying they're noisy and not respectful.
They can be, yes. Yeah. So and the other thing I would say about the neighborhood is sometimes like I think CAMH is in the area, so sometimes we'll get some different activity around that, but otherwise it's pretty good neighborhood.
Yeah, we have a good neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
Well, I think we've been speaking for about an hour, and I think I'm gonna call it quits. But I just want to say, Benny Pimentel and Fatima Ferreira, of course, you're my friends, and we all feel very close to each other. I want to thank you very much for coming and speaking to me, because we're collecting all this information, and you've been here for so many years. Fatima, your entire life, and 1965 gives us a good picture since you bought your house on Robert Street. So thank you both very, very much.
Oh, thank you for having us.